At California Psychics, we know some people can't read the career warning signs, like your boss still not knowing your name.
You, Tina, Lisa, Sheila, whatever. Get that report to me by lunch, okay?
It's Carrie, ma'am?
Just get it done, Terry.
So talk to California Psychics and receive the career guidance you need. We only connect you with the very best, so guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
There was a time.
Where you could not go anywhere without seeing the Kodak logo.
Oh, yeah.
And Rochester, obviously.
It meant something, buddy.
But any city in America, any city in the world, there were ads galore, all kinds of products that carried that name. They were the title sponsors of the Olympics, NASCAR, every one of the four major sports, Super Bowls, for God's sakes. It's been a long time since we've had that.
Yeah.
But it could be right around the corner again.
Damn.
In the weirdest way possible.
Yet it'd have to be.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. Get ready.
For what?
To see Kodak all over everything again.
How?
A story in the New York Times this weekend, written by our good break room buddy, David Andrietta.
Man, they threw him a bone, huh?
What a terrible way to say. What a terrible thing to say.
Huh.
They threw him a bone?
Why is that your first comment?
And he's not talented enough to write for the Times?
He doesn't work for the Times, so they throw him a nice little bone.
It's called being a freelance writer.
I get it. That is a big accomplishment. He's like the Sean McDermott of writers.
No, he's on the Times hot seat. Andrietta's story in the New York Times reveals a new business idea for the once mighty Kodak.
What is it?
You will be seeing the Kodak logo on products you have never associated with the brand before, not just cameras, which you will see.
Yeah.
Clothing, hats. But, Kimmy, we've seen that the last couple years.
Yeah, I kind of thought like that already had its resurgence.
The newer stuff we haven't seen?
Yeah.
What's that?
Kodak luggage.
Okay.
Kodak eyewear.
But why would anybody want it?
Kodak paint. Kodak solar panels. Kodak flashlights. Kodak power generators. Kodak televisions. Kodak binoculars. And some of you might be thinking, wow, Kodak is making all these things again. We're so back.
Yeah.
And they're not.
So why would I want something that just has the
name
on it?
It's a good question. But companies are paying Kodak to license the name and logo. And Kodak
has like that retro look?
Or because I'm thinking like do these other companies just want that iconic brand on there to seem more legit or something?
This business went out of business.
Yeah, I was going to say, but that doesn't make sense either.
No, that's exactly what's happening.
When you want to win or fail, you come to us.
That's exactly what's happening. Kodak is licensing their name and logo to anyone that
wants
to.
Pan Am was doing this? We talked about it off air, I think, that they now have Pan American luggage from back in the day. So you could look like a jet setter from the swinging 60s.
And by the way, Pan Am doesn't exist anymore.
Right. They've been out of business for 20 years.
But Kodak still exists.
Kind of.
But it still makes stuff.
I don't even know what the hell they do over there.
I know, but you don't know anything.
But I never see a truck coming out of the joint.
You're here for 5 minutes before and after the show combined.
Well, they still make film, right?
Who?
Well, no, I think movies were shifting towards whatever film they make.
Okay. Yeah, they supply Hollywood with film.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
In the United States, to your guys' point, the Kodak name does not carry the clout that it used to.
Right.
But that doesn't seem to be the case overseas. For example, the Kodak brand is huge in Asia.
Really?
You ready for this?
What?
According to Andrietta's story in the New York Times, in South Korea, Kodak has become a chic fashion brand. There are entire stores dedicated to clothing made by Kodak or with the Kodak logo on it where trendy 20-somethings go and buy Kodak hats.
So what kicked all this off, man?
Beats the hell out of me, man. And by the way, if you don't believe me, you can Google it or open up Andrietta's story on the New York Times because there is a picture of one of these Kodak clothing stores.
So but he didn't find out why, though, did he? Like some celebrity award?
Or? I mean, it may just be one of these retro things that came back in this specific area.
People like the logo, the look of it, I guess.
Who knows? So here's the thing.
Yeah.
And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. On one hand, it is very possible that Kodak logo that at one time we in Rochester took such pride in will once again have a place in the American consciousness, depending on how these generators, televisions, binoculars, whatever do. But on the other hand...
Yeah, it doesn't get your pension back.
Yeah, that and nothing... That logo has nothing to do with anything to do with Rochester.
Right.
Or our family that built that place up. Or the company as it exists today. So let's say, by some chance, Kodak TVs, Kodak generators, Kodak paint blows up in America.
When you say Kodak paint, it's just a can of paint that says Kodak on it?
You got it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Like that you'd paint your walls with?
That's what it sounds like.
All right.
Let's say one of these things blows up and we start to see the Kodak logo all over again. Is that cool? Or is it a slap in the face to us?
It's almost sad. It's not even cruel. It's just
Not cruel. Cool. Like, are we going to take pride in seeing that logo?
Yeah.
Or are we going to look at that and be like, you got to be effing kidding me right now?
I would think more of the, I mean, if you were attached to that business, I think you're going to be pissed.
I mean, Kimmy, your mom was a Kodaker?
Yeah, both my parents were.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, even if that, you know, went bad for you and your family, I think you'd still see that logo and want to tell people you're associated with it. Like, oh, that's Rochester.
Yeah.
I know that place. Like, you'd still have to, like, tell a story about
My grandfather walked out with so much stuff. We still have reams of paper in the basement.
Like, it's hard to...
Don't get me started with staplers.
Kodak paper. And Kodak staplers.
It's hard to deny the connection, whether or not you... No matter how you feel about it.
But that's what was funny. Like, the film, at one point, had a connection to Rochester.
Yeah.
The cameras had a connection to
Rochester. But it's a sad ending. Like
the, yes, this stuff has no connection to us.
Yeah, but the logo itself, I don't know.
What does it mean?
Nothing.
It means nothing.
Yeah, you make nothing. It means nothing.
To fully illustrate how far Kodak has fallen, 252 WCMF, again, our good break room buddies, co-host of the show several times, David Andrietta, had a piece in the New York Times over the weekend talking about how Kodak is now licensing their name and logo to pretty much anyone that wants to use it to make
yourself.
Anything. Yeah, we're talking clothing, hats, luggage, eyewear, paint, solar panels, flashlights, power generators, televisions, binoculars, amongst other things. They will be Kodak branded, but Kodak is not making them. They're just giving them the name. And apparently the name is still huge in Asia, where kids, you know, trendy kids, are wearing Kodak clothing, and they have standalone Kodak clothing stores. To fully illustrate how far Kodak has fallen, last year, Kodak recorded $1 billion in revenue. And that sounds like a lot. Until you find out that in 1990, they took in $19 billion in revenue.
So we're coming down a little bit into billions.
Kimmy, can you adjust for inflation $19 billion in 1990 to today's money?
Because what do you think it'd be worth today?
I'm going to say
$100 billion.
No, I'm going to say 60.
I'm going to say 100.
No, it wouldn't increase.
Go big, baby.
You said $19 billion in 1990.
Yep.
Okay.
I say it's worth $100 billion today.
It's not five times the amount.
Five times.
$100 billion. Because like it's funny too. That also shows us how little wherewithal we have of any money above like $1 million.
Yeah.
Because $1 billion, so that's a $1 billion company.
I wouldn't even. I am kind of shocked that they even generate that.
But it sounds like it's not based on this. It's not even a lot of money.
No.
It's not even a lot of $1 billion. Couldn't even throw Jeff Bezos' wedding over the weekend. The
calculator won't do it over $10 million.
All right. Oh. So let's say 60.
All right.
$60 million.
Oh, so we'll take your.
We'll go with mine.
All right.
So what might be the cruelest part of all of it?
What's it?
Right? Like, you know, as we talk about the TVs and the generators, binoculars,
the
glasses,
condoms,
right? All
of these things. How funny would it be bright yellow Kodak condom.
If there's one thing I need to work in the moment, I'm not putting a Kodak logo on that. But like the cruelest part of all this, Kodak could have made all of these products themselves if they had the wherewithal.
Yeah.
Because Tommy, there was a time.
It was a Kodak time.
And I know I've said that multiple times.
I've sung this a lot today.
We're talking nostalgia here. That Kodak name was good as gold.
Yeah.
If they had actually started manufacturing solar panels, generators, televisions, luggage in the early 90s and stuck with it, people would have bought it.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody trusted that name.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a sentence that Andrietta puts in this article that really sends home what we had at one point.
What's his sentence?
Well, look, there are people under 30 that do not fully understand the dominance of this company. And even having lived through it, I think you forget how big it was.
Oh, yeah.
But to read this quote from the Times from Andrietta, quote, "The Eastman Kodak Company, a brand as big in its heyday as Apple or Google today, whose sentimental ads left lumped in the throats of generations of consumers, has become a cautionary tale for companies slowly to adapt to change." They were Google and Apple.
Yeah.
Kodak was Google and Apple.
Yeah.
And you can't go anywhere without using, seeing, participating in Google and Apple. We had that here. And they pissed it away.
Yeah, they ate their young.
They blew it.
Yeah.
They blew it. Ah!
Yeah, what are you going to do?
No, see, you're not from here, man. You ain't from here, so it doesn't hurt you like it
hurts
us.
Well, yeah, I understand that. By the way, you were a little baby when they were blowing
up. My entire family worked for Kodak, minus my dad.
And that was part of the problem.
My dad was smart enough to work for Kodak, apparently, which is saying something.
He didn't for a short period of time?
He worked for a week at Kodak, and then he went and became a cop.
Short term.
Kodak, please, freeze!
I'm trying to think of another logo that carries that weight that is just a logo now. You know what I mean?
Oh, like that's gone?
You recognize the logo, but the company is no longer around. There's got to be something.
That's still, like, recognizable.
Well, we were talking about Pan Am. That was, like, the biggest airline in the world at one time. It represented the 1960s, and it's gone.
Yeah. Ah, Kimmy, that's a good question. Outside of Pan Am, I can't think of another one. 252-WCMF, where they're just using the logo for stuff.
Yeah.
While we're thinking, let's talk to Eduardo. Hello, Eduardo.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, brother. What do you got?
Well, I was in South Korea 2 years ago with the family. And actually, we walked into small, very high-end mall in South Korea in Seoul. It was a Kodak store. I got a nice sweater. Actually, the sweater has a Kodak Rochester. Do you remember the sticker they used to give it to you when you draw the film?
Yeah.
Look like that. And it's a great sweater. Every place I go to Rochester, people ask me, where you got that one? You never see that here before.
So you went into one of these Kodak Korean stores then?
Oh, definitely, yes. Yeah.
Eduardo, are you from Rochester?
I'm originally from Puerto Rico, but I live in Rochester, yes.
Okay, all right. So was it weird to walk in there and see, like, the entire...
Oh, definitely.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, very strange. It's like you never see that in Rochester, never. And you walk, and they have, you know, sweaters, shirts, socks, everything. It's amazing. It was a big surprise. I'm very proud.
Should have grabbed one of the condoms.
Okay. All right, so Eduardo, it was not a slap in the face to you. You're going to take pride in it. You're going to wear that sweatshirt everywhere.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Very proud.
All right. Thanks
actually,
for the call.
Talking about also, they have a Pan Am store in the Hyundai Mall in Seoul, Torso. I've been talking about names. They have a Pan Am store.
Oh, they have the Pan Am store, too.
Wow,
so
yeah.
They're just selling all kinds of crap to the
all
Koreans.
All kind of
Hey, Eduardo, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Take care, bud.
Somebody tweeted at us, Blockbuster.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay. We have it.
What do you got?
Matthew on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF, the easiest way to get us. We told you a second ago that last year Kodak brought in $1 billion of revenue.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a lot until you find out that in 1990, they brought in $19 billion today. Today, $19 billion.
How much?
In 1990 money.
I say it's $100 billion.
$46,731,730,000. Nope. Yeah.
Man, you were way off. $60 billion. What do you think?
Less than half of. So
that's why we're not billionaires.
Yeah, one of the many reasons we're not billionaires. So in 1990, they were bringing in 46 times the revenue.
A year, right?
Yes, well, than they brought in last year.
God damn.
46 damn. Times.
Where did it all go, Pat?
That's a great question, man.
Pissed
where did
it away.
All go? I don't know. And, like, here's the other thing that pisses me off, too.
What's that?
I don't mean to crap on Kodak, but I think a lot of us have a lot of ill feelings based on what happens to parents and grandparents and all that stuff. For Kodak to get that insane second chance they had a few years ago, where they were going to be, like, the manufacturer for pieces of domestic medicine. Yes.
And then, yeah, the pharmaceutical deal.
Yeah, and then they effed it all up with, quote, 100%. Alleged insider trading.
But they didn't just mess it up.
Yeah.
They messed it up before the press conference was over.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, they got in trouble... Ending the press conference, there was already news that there was, like, dirty deals going down. That was amazing.
Like, for what happened, look, you can understand why a company slow to change would have the collapse that Kodak has. They just made mistake after mistake. And it's okay to be angry about it, right?
Yeah.
But maybe it was just bound to happen.
All right.
That second thing is infuriating because you had the ability to put people to work and make this town a name again. On a national and international scale.
Oh, yeah.
And you blew it, quote, for alleged greed.
Yeah.
To line your alleged pockets, you alleged douchebags.
Yes.
Like, here's the thing, man. You know, you hear Eduardo, and it sounds like he didn't grow up in Rochester, but he lives in Rochester now. You know?
I wasn't picking up on it.
Rochester might be the one place that doesn't embrace the Kodak stuff.
Yeah. I mean, how, of all places in the world, we don't have nobody opened a store?
Yeah.
They have one in the Kodak Theater.
Like a just purely Kodak stuff?
They will sell you. So now, I don't know how
like
big
mugs
it is.
And stuff?
But they'll sell you mugs and t-shirts and sweatshirts and hats. But it looks nothing like these stores.
I've never seen anybody walking around with that stuff.
Right.
Neither have I. But think about this here in Rochester. The folks who got laid off and watched their world collapse around them. Entire neighborhoods that were destroyed when half the houses on the block.
Yeah, but think about how many families broke up over that.
Yeah. Yes.
Like got divorced, moved away.
You're right. I mean, the rug was pulled out. And even worse, like even 20 years after the worst of it happens, folks with pensions.
Oh, they got shafted, yeah.
They were promised all of this. With the work that they put in, all of a sudden, it's gone. Why Would anyone in Rochester...
Here's my coffee mug.
Thank you. And it sucks because, like, the folks that worked at Kodakers, and I know some of you are listening, the older set, you should have pride in what you did. Like, yeah. You should be able to look at that logo and be like, I was a part of that. But I also understand why it would make you furious.
Yeah.
Furious.
But I think there are still people who worked at Kodak holding on to that old Kodak stuff.
But you made that.
Because you would think in a place like Rochester, like, when you go to those flea markets and stuff, it would just be full of old Kodak stuff. And maybe there's more out there than I've seen, but it's pretty rare that you come by some of that stuff.
All right, so here's the thing. I mean, I think a lot of people either chucked it or held on to it. Yeah. Look, there's pride in, like, this. Yeah. I made this.
Yeah.
Right? I made this, and this was shipped all over the globe. I mean, it's also possible, too, because we're getting Facebook messages. The Break Room WCMF, the easiest. No, I'm sorry. You get us at the WCMF or the Break Room Facebook page. Dan writes us, there are lots of people who are now adults that don't have the feelings towards Kodak that older people do. Maybe that'll be trendy with them.
Yeah, time phase, yeah. Right? I mean,
20-something?
Yeah.
And yeah, you like to connect yourself to any part of your history, mm-hmm. Right? So we're big on history here.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know how you Google Kodak's history after the death of George Eastman. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, even that was, pretty rough.
And that's the other funny thing, too, is like the George Eastman house is a gem of Rochester.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's not like he did anything wrong. Business wise,
no.
Right? But like,
I mean, he shot an elephant.
That was pretty standard at the time. And like, the elephant head you see in there, not the real elephant. Which, can we talk about that? If you've never been in the George Eastman house, there is a giant elephant's head hanging off the wall, and they took down the real elephant and they put up a fake elephant because obviously sensitivity.
But yeah, it's still a representative of a dead elephant.
Right.
But here's the thing: why not just leave the dead elephant? Because you already killed the elephant.
Yeah. Right.
Elephant's
what
over.
Did you do with the dead elephant?
Where's the
actual head of it? Where does that sit?
Is that in
the basement?
Maybe. Maybe they keep it in the archives somewhere.
Oh, okay.
But the elephant's over 100 years old. I think his family's over it.
Yeah. They've moved on.
Yeah. I would like to see the real elephant.
Poor Uncle Fred got shot by a billionaire.
Fred the elephant. All right, let's take a break. This story keeps getting better and better.
So what happened?
Because it began with another local politician getting arrested for something ridiculous, which is kind of like par for the course.
Mm.
But with every update, we learn something new and a little bit more funny.
Because
according to these allegations, he wanted this done. And he personally was going to make sure this was taken care of.
Damn.
You're hanging out in the Break Room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Don Trout is the town supervisor of Waterloo.
Great name.
Of course he is the town supervisor.
Yeah.
Bro, you can't be anything but the town supervisor of Waterloo with a name like Don Trout.
Donnie Trout.
No, you don't call him Donnie.
Call him Troutsy.
I don't know. My name is Don Trout. You will refer to me as Don Trout. Back in March of 2024, Trout, along with another town board member and Don Trout's girlfriend, were arrested after authorities say they broke into the town highway barn. At the time, the allegations only said they destroyed property in the barn. That's what they were arrested for. Trout was offered a plea deal.
Yeah.
He turned it down.
Oh.
So he is now going to court. And this week in court, he pleaded not guilty to the charges he was facing. And when he did that, we got some more details to the story.
What happened at the old town shed? I hear old Don Trout's out there at the town shed messing.
It was funny. None of that is factually inaccurate, according to the allegations. So according to the Finger Lakes Daily News, the highway superintendent was told by the town supervisor to remove a TV from the highway barn. There was a TV in there that I guess he didn't want in there. Apparently, the highway superintendent did not remove the TV.
Okay.
So authorities say that Trout and the town board member used their keys to get into the barn, and I quote, make the TV inoperable.
Oh, so they just damaged it?
Does it mean I think it kind of sounds like they broke the TV.
Right.
Right? And because of these allegations, the town supervisor in Waterloo, Mr. Trout, is facing serious charges. Are you ready for this?
What?
He's looking at felony third-degree burglary.
Because he broke into the shed?
Okay, those
so he doesn't have the authority to be in there, but he has keys.
Okay, but it's still burglary if you're in somewhere you shouldn't be in. So on top of the felony third-degree burglary, he's facing criminal mischief, official misconduct, attempted tampering with physical evidence, possession of burglary tools, and conspiracy. All of this
over a television
over the
set?
Television, according
that
to the
story. That you didn't take.
Okay, it just broke. And you were offered a plea that you turned down.
Mm-hmm.
So with the allegations we are seeing here, we add this to the list of completely insane politicians accused of doing weird stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess you could look at it on the other hand.
What's that?
If the allegations are true, you would understand what this man is trying to do here, right? Like, if he was pissed about a TV in the highway barn, you're not doing the job that I'm paying you to do. I mean, would he be allowed to get rid of it? I know legally no, but
that's what he's thinking.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people that would side with him.
I'm the mayor.
I don't know why you wouldn't go through other channels to get this done if you really wanted the TV gone.
Right.
Unless he's allowed to have the TV and you were just pissed about it.
It seems like such a petty thing to be worried about your town, that there's a television in there.
Well, I mean, look, you're not doing we're paying you a top salary.
Sitting around watching match game.
Maybe the smaller the thing, the more angry you get about
it. Must be.
Well, I mean, we don't know how old Don Trout is, but his name is Don Trout.
Like, if you're the mayor and this is the biggest thing you're worried about, is a TV in the old town shed.
Well, maybe
things like, I can't even get this done.
Well, maybe things are going so well in Waterloo, this was the biggest problem. Mm. A TV in the town barn.
But you blew up your whole life over it.
Potentially. Now, these are just allegations, right?
Right.
Now, right?
But you still got to go through them.
You do. The funniest part of this story, if the allegations are true, is how much trouble they're in for doing something allegedly so stupid. Like you said, like we've seen, Tommy, elected officials get popped for stealing money, stalking people, using their power to do insane favor for friends or
making
family.
Making stuff up.
Driving drunk.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing compared to those charges.
No. This is a new one.
But the fact that he allegedly rounded up a posse.
Yeah, like the other two went in on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Over a TV.
Yeah.
Is hilarious.
The fact that he needed two other people to accomplish this.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Because you were just going to go in and break something and leave. You didn't take anything.
Maybe it's a really big TV. It's a two-man TV job.
All right, yeah.
And on top of that, he's not taking a plea. He's going to go to court.
He's going
to
fight this out.
Yeah, he's going to face felony burglary charges to prove his innocence or whatever he believes his innocence is.
Yeah.
Now, again, keep in mind, all of these are just allegations. Yeah. Nobody is guilty of anything right now, right? But if he were to be found guilty, this wouldn't be the first time a town supervisor went mad with power in their tiny little elected position. And we've had this discussion about how absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
Even though being town supervisor is an absolute power. But I think it's time for an uncomfortable question.
What's that?
252 WCMF. We're talking about a man named Don Trout. He is the town supervisor out in Waterloo. He was arrested back in March of 2024 along with another town board member and his own girlfriend after police say they broke into the town highway barn and destroyed a television, at least made it inoperable. Mm-hmm. He's facing felony burglary charges because of it. The uncomfortable question.
What's that?
With all of these small-time elected officials, judges, whatever, clearly overstepping their jobs and ending up in trouble, is it possible this keeps happening because the people running for these offices don't really know the power of the job they're running for?
They don't understand the job.
Like they think they have more power than they do?
Bingo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they don't understand the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of it is some pretty petty stuff that we've talked about in the past.
But I want you to really think about what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? Is everyone really thinking? That it's possible there are people running for elected positions that will become either their full-time or a significant part of their life job, and they don't know what the job does, where their power stops, what this title allows them to do.
Because a lot of them are uncontested. Like a lot of times, you run, you win.
True.
Yeah, some of them. Well, I don't think something as big as town supervisor. They always run someone.
But a lot of times, they'll tell you, like, nobody signs up.
No, I get like a highway
superintendent. Even the primaries, at least for the primaries,
okay.
Right?
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
So it's like, I could do that.
Yeah, okay. But, like, I want, again, think about this.
Mm.
It would, in today's day and age, if someone from your town political committee, Tommy, came to you and said, I would like you to be town supervisor of Pittsford.
Yeah.
You don't know what that job entails.
No.
And that's fine. You shouldn't. You've never been a politician. Mm. But it would just take a simple Google search to specifically tell you what your job in your town would be.
Mm-hmm.
And based on all of these elected officials getting in trouble, it kind of feels like maybe they're not even doing that.
Yeah, and it's also a little bit of arrogance.
Okay,
I'm in charge,
I'm just thinking of every example of somebody that I've worked with that has not even become the boss, but got some type of like promotion or, you know, a job where they thought that maybe they were managing people. And the power that went to some of those people's heads in these smaller upgrades of a role where you're not even making more money most of the time. So I can't imagine what it
leaders.
Would be like if somebody thought they somebody like that got a job where they're running a town.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but I think the difference here, Kimmy, between just the whole arrogance of it, and I agree with you, some of it is arrogant.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if it's like someone here who gets like a position where they feel like they've gotten a promotion, if they throw their weight around, nobody outside this building knows. In these stories that we keep seeing over and over again with town supervisors,
but I'm saying, but they'll take advantage of things, and it's not even in their role. Like I'm just saying, like how on this smaller scale it can happen.
Sure.
So I can't imagine what it's like when you're that when your face is on a town.
I'm with you, but I still think it's more than that because, like, if you knew you could get arrested for this,
yeah.
I would think you wouldn't do it.
I wonder if he knew he could get arrested if he was arrogant enough to say, you know what, God damn it, I want that done. I'll go in and do it myself. Like, not even thinking he's committing a crime.
If the allegations are true. Yeah.
I'm just going to go in there and take care of business.
Because there's lots of guys that would have that same mentality.
I'm doing my job. I told you to move that. I'm going to move it for you.
I'm walking in my teeth. You're not going to clean your room? Fine. He starts chucking clothes in a garbage can. Oh, here's what you get. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm not replacing him. I'm not replacing him.
It's almost like that OJ moment where he was going to go back up to that room and get his stuff back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kicking the door. It's my stuff.
I love how you tell that story. Like, that's, like, by far the second OJ story half the audience.
But that's the one that got him in jail.
No, you're right. You're right.
Arrogance. And, you know, I'm OJ. I can do what I want.
Like, I am curious, going back to this whole, like, the power that these positions hold.
Yeah.
Does the average person believe, if you are the town supervisor or mayor or a judge, that you just say things and that happens? Like, that you are...
Mr. Powerful?
Yeah.
Well, you are probably somebody who's surrounded by a lot of yes people.
Oh, I'm not even talking about the people that get the job. I'm talking about someone that goes to vote in your town election and you pull for town supervisor even though you have no idea who's running against who.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds insane, but it's not like, Tommy, you ever took a town supervisor course
test
in your civics class.
No.
If you even took a civics class or a participation in government class. Because, like, with the pattern that we keep seeing in our area, and this is just our region, over and over and over again, I am willing to bet that these men and women that we think are drunk with power aren't, and they actually believe they have the power to do the things that
or they're taking care of something. This is the way people want it, so this is what I'm going to do, even though, you know, it may not really be above board.
But you remember, there was a judge we talked about a couple months ago where he had a buddy who got a speeding ticket. The buddy could not show up to court.
Yeah.
So he told a sheriff's deputy to stand in his place.
Yes.
And he dismissed the charges.
Yeah.
He just did pretend court.
He just made it up. Yeah.
And he lost his job because of that. But it took years because he kept saying, whoa.
And by the way, this is just the stuff we're finding out about.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Because it does. It takes balls in a situation like this to come out and say something against the town supervisor.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give you an example. There have been several allegations made against the town supervisor out in Greece and some of the people that surround him. And that man keeps getting elected and nothing has stuck, right?
Yeah.
Right. So he is innocent of all the charges he has faced. But there is a story right now currently happening where two members of the town of Greece, residents, had tracking devices allegedly put on their cars.
Yeah.
And a woman who was close to the town supervisor was arrested for that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've also seen several people file lawsuits saying that they were retaliated against for speaking out against the people that were in these positions.
Yeah, they used,
And if that's your lifetime gig, which it can be for some of these folks.
Oh, sure.
That can be devastating.
Yeah.
Right? So it takes balls.
Yeah, it does.
It almost feels like the smaller the office, the harder it is to go against them because no one's paying attention.
Yeah.
Right? The president tells someone to do something illegal. That person comes out. Their name gets remembered forever.
It's a press conference, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Oliver North is a name that people remember forever and ever and ever, right? Monica Lewinsky is a name that people remember. Linda Tripp, forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
You don't know the names of these people in
Greece. No, you'll forget them tomorrow.
Exactly. You didn't even know them when we were talking about them in the first place.
Oh, Larry Petrosky?
Shut up. There are no Polish people in the town of Greece.
Probably not.
Oh, we got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF or the Breakroom Facebook page. This comes in from Rick. Rick writes us, if all he did was break a TV that shouldn't have been in the barn, I don't see what the problem is. More of my issue is being over litigious and not letting this man do his job. We don't know the TV wasn't allowed to be there.
Yeah, right.
And based on the charges, if the allegations are true, he wasn't allowed to go do it.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. But that's what I mean, right? Like, it's not just the idea that I have the power to do this. It's that it's the idea that there will be people that go, yeah, he should be able to do
that. That's right.
What's the problem? Why don't we change the laws? So all TVs are breakable when they are within the confines of the highway barn.
The town shed.
Does every town have a highway barn?
I guess it's weird calling it a barn.
Yeah.
It's like shed. It's like a tool shed or a... You keep all your crap.
You can't come up with a better name. You don't have to change the way
it
looks.
Town barn?
Just, yeah, make it sound like a bigger thing.
That'll be down to highway barn, Ma.
The highway department headquarters.
Why don't you meet me behind the highway barn, darling?
You were going to say something, Kimmy?
So I was just confused. Did he admit to breaking the TV or he denies all of
it? He has not admitted to anything. Okay. He simply pleaded not guilty and refused a plea deal.
Yeah.
So buckle up, Waterloo.
Yeah.
You got the trial of a century coming up. Don Trout versus the man in the highway barn, which sounds like a Johnny Cash song, like a BBB side. All right, let's take a break. These are designed for kids.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're taking a shot at adults. And there's two reasons for this.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to sit here and you're going to laugh. And you're gonna,
what the hell's in it?
Oh, this generation. Bro, this has happened over and over again for the last 30, 40 years. And both my dad and Kimmy's dad have fallen victim to this.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So we know that fast food restaurants in general, have been struggling the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they are doing everything they can to try and bring customers back in. McDonald's is starting something new today.
Ooh, they're stepping up.
Their new Happy Meal toy line will be in whatever Happy Meal you buy. They are called Lil McDonald's.
Lil McDonald's. All right.
The toys are mini versions of classic McDonald's items.
So now, even more mini? Because they were pretty small before.
Like itty. Okay, for example, Kimmy, it's one of them is a little classic McDonald's.
Okay.
Like ones that we remember all from right. when we were kids. One of them is the, you remember the jack-o'-lantern bucket you would get your Happy Meals in?
Yeah.
That's one of the toys there. A classic truck, the old school McDonald's marquee with like, or the sign with the marquee underneath it. An old school McDonald's drive-thru. All of these things. An old booth that you want to remember.
But it's
from
like a little tiny toy.
It's
version.
Like a mini version. Of
yes, you can't play with it. It's just a mini version.
So this is like, these are like collectibles for adults?
This is, okay, so they are not specifically for adults. So it is not set. So
well,
meant
no kid
to be
cares.
For kids.
Well, kid gets well, nostalgia no, at five.
Well, but don't kids love, like, aren't like mini things in right now, like mini collectibles?
So they're called mini brands.
Okay.
My 12-year-old is obsessed with mini brands, and Kimmy's right. It's
like
all
grocery. It's like the most random items, just like a mini plastic version of it.
But your kid's even out of Happy Meal age, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm the mini brand stuff we're talking is like stuff you go to like Target and buy.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes, this would be Happy Meal stuff. But Kimmy, you're right. It is popular for some kids, but it is believed that McDonald's, for two reasons, are targeting adults with these.
So what's the deal?
Okay, so first of all, it's going to play on nostalgia, and these things are supposed to be collectible, quote,
they're
going
to flock to get their hands on it.
For example, there is a gold McDonald's Happy Meal miniature that is like a chase, is what they call it. So like that's a rarer one that will be more valuable down the road.
Hold on to that one, buddy. Yeah. They only made a billion of them.
But more importantly,
yeah.
There is data that suggests that more adults than ever have been buying Happy Meals, even before this.
Is it because they're just cheaper?
You got it.
Because you can just buy a small hamburger.
Yeah, right. But for whatever reason, the McDonald's Happy Meal all combined is cheaper than a hamburger, fries, and a small
soda. All right, but you can't afford because you're too busted.
Well, yeah, or you're trying to save money or whatever. Yeah, yeah. The reason is adults have been buying kids' meals at fast food restaurants. Now, there's no data from any of the restaurants that say this. This is all second-party stuff, so take it with a grain of salt. Right. But if you have the combination of McDonald's knows adults are buying Happy Meals, and now you have these retro Happy Meal toys in there that kids wouldn't understand even if they got them, kind of seems like McDonald's trying to sell Happy Meals to adults now.
Okay. All right. Lure me in.
By the way, Happy Meal is the exact amount of food you would need to get full. No, I'm serious.
Man who eats a salad twice a day.
Yeah, but when I eat, I eat. You never
the old
eat.
Man salad.
How about Tommy's already got a half a boner looking forward to his two hot dogs a year on Friday.
Oh, I don't have crouton Wednesday.
I don't have crouton Wednesday anymore either because Ruby Tuesdays close their locations in Rochester. So joke's on you.
You can buy them and eat them at your house.
Not to
just
say.
A bag full of croutons.
They're pumpernickel and they come fresh out of the fryer. Kimmy, when's the last time you had a Happy Meal?
I mean, it has to. I don't have a memory of my last Happy Meal.
So you never bought one as an adult?
I don't know. I don't think so.
So we had a salesperson at the old across the street.
Mm-hmm.
She ate a Happy Meal. That was like her McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't doing it for any reason. She just loved Happy Meals.
Okay.
And it was always disturbing to me to see an adult businesswoman eating a kid's meal.
Why? It's just a hamburger, fries, and a soda.
But see, you're doing it in front of like your coworkers.
Yeah,
it just looks
weird.
It comes
in a little box and everything.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff. Yeah. It's like you got your little toy lunch there.
But I get my carrying case. Well, I don't get that with the other food. I just get a bag.
That's kind of weird if you're going into work like that.
That's your meal. I get it now, though, just because most places don't have like the dollar menu anymore. So this really would be the best bang for your buck if you don't want a lot of food. But I don't get it back then, though.
Don't go to McDonald's because you don't want a lot of food.
Understand.
You want food, baby.
Yeah, but you can't afford maybe, or your budget doesn't.
I can't afford a full goddamn hamburger.
No, I mean, these things do happen, man. Okay, so right now, wow, that is a wide swath.
What?
Well, I had Googled what is a Happy Meal cost now in America. Do you want to take a shot
at it? It was going to set me back. $5.
No, more.
Wait, more than $5?
Okay, so it says here the price range in America for a Happy Meal is anywhere between $6 and $10, and this is from McDonald's.
$10 for a
probably at like
a
those
teeny meal?
I would guess, isn't it usually more at the throughway stops?
Yeah, right. It's always super expensive. Well, yeah, and bigger cities too.
Yeah.
Right? McDonald's gets more expensive. Yeah, I mean, a Happy Meal is now $6 to $10, depending on where you are and what you're ordering. So, like right now, okay, hamburger Happy Meal, I'm looking at from the Wegmans website, $7.23. That gives you a burger, apple slices, a kid size fry, and a milk.
First of all, I don't eat apple slices.
Well, they did.
Give me a little more burger and lose the apple.
It's first to help kids eat, make healthier choices.
No, but nobody goes to McDonald's. You go to McDonald's because it's fun. So they invented a Happy Meal.
Yeah, I went to McDonald's because it was fun over and over and over and over again when I was a kid.
He could have used some apple slices.
Yeah, I mean, my heart needs apple slices, bro, badly. 252 WCMF. McDonald's today is releasing a new line of Happy Meals toys. They are minis.
Yeah.
But they're nostalgic little mini plastic toys. Old-looking restaurants. The bucket of the jack-o'-lantern that we used to get our Happy Meals in. An old truck. A McDonald's sign with a marquee. And it is believed that these are aimed at adults to try and get them to buy Happy Meals because apparently more adults have been buying Happy Meals.
But, like, didn't we learn from our parents? Because, like, looking back as a kid and, like, parents rushing to McDonald's to get whatever collectible, like, the hot collectibles that were out certain times of the year. Like, and I remember ladies standing up at the register and arguing with the kid checking them out. Like, they had already gotten that toy, so they wanted to exchange for, like, a different one.
That is so goddamn sad.
But let's talk about this, because she's right.
And I just think, like, we all experienced this as kids and would be, like, too embarrassed to do that now as adults.
So, like, the biggest chase for Happy Meals toys was the Beanie Babies.
The Beanie Babies.
I also remember like the Barbie ones being
those were big,
being collectibles too.
You don't remember the McDonald's mini beanies?
I remember the Beanie Baby craze. So that was part of it.
During the Beanie Baby craze, McDonald's put mini Beanie Babies in.
Oh damn! Yeah.
McDonald's.
Man, if you have one of those today,
they'd run out of them.
Yes, and like to your point, people would be on the phone trying to figure out which McDonald's had which ones because some were worth more money than others. God. There was also a run. Do you remember this? The Rugrats watches at Burger King when we were in like middle school.
I didn't know. I remember them, but I don't remember them being that
watches.
Big.
My dad. Okay, so it's when the
King collectible.
Oh my god, bro! You want to talk about embarrassing? It's when the Rugrats movie came out.
Yeah,
and they had these. It was like a set of five talking watches. So they were plastic. It had like one of the characters on it. Yeah. You would press a button, and like Tommy Pickles would say, like, you know, baby's got to do what a baby's got to do. For whatever reason, my dad
wanted to get his hands on those.
He thought they were going to be worth a bunch of money.
Yeah.
So he would call different Burger Kings when he would get home from work that he heard got a shipment in and see which ones they had. And I vividly remember traveling all over the greater Rochester area to go get these specific Rugrats watches that we were not allowed to wear because they were going to skyrocket in value.
All right. Look at them now.
They probably got taken by the bank when they repurchased
them. Or you left them there?
We had them there. Like, I remember walking into Marketplace Mall. To the Burger King that was off to the corner there, and the guy, like the kid, like had the bag ready for us, like we were doing a drug deal. Like, look at that.
So he'd call ahead and score these
to figure out which Burger King had which watches.
I can't remember what toy or item it was for, but I remember people going to the McDonald's at the airport because it was like the last one left that had any of the collectibles. Like people were lined up. They went all the way to the airport
to
get
park,
their hands on stuff.
Went through security.
Yes. No, you probably didn't have to at the time.
Ah, you're right.
Yeah, back then,
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
And none of it's worth a goddamn thing.
No, I mean.
It's all sitting in a landfill.
Just for S's and G's.
Yeah.
Will you Google, Kimmy, what the most valuable McDonald's Beanie Baby is worth right
what
now?
What it traded for? Or?
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, we could go down the list of, like, those glasses. Every Disney movie that came out, they would release a glass or a toy that became, you know, the super chase thing that people had to go out and have. And now you go to flea markets, and it is nothing but Snow White and Beauty and the Beast or whatever glasses that Disney put out to McDonald's. But it doesn't stop people. Kimmy, you're right. We should know better than this.
So those beanies were always themed, right? Because I remember there was, like, the Grateful Dead had a Beanie Baby.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they made specific ones.
There was a Princess Di Bear. There were football-themed
but
ones.
But it turns out, like, you had to have, like, a certain type made. I don't even know what to look for, but not all of them were as valuable.
Limited edition.
Yeah. All right, what is the most valuable Mick Beanie Baby
that
you could
find? Okay,
so
it seems like on eBay, there's a collection of four of the Thai Beanie Babies still in the packages.
From McDonald's.
From McDonald's. Okay. And all four of them together are starting at $100.
Wow.
$100.
It seems like.
It's way more than I thought.
There's another one that's, again, it's a collection of four. That's $150, but I'm not seeing anything over that now.
That's way more than I thought.
Sitting on a cool $100 there, bro.
Well, I mean,
20-year payoff.
And again, you would have had to not have opened it.
I'm looking. I just pulled it up on eBay right now. They've got the complete set from McDonald's, 12 of them. $27 your best
$27
offer. This one's, and they're all in the bag. This one's $14.95, all of them.
Man, your dad be sitting on tens.
I kind of want to buy them just because we can. I'm like starting to get that rush again.
Well, I wonder what that Grateful Dead one went for then.
You want to eBay what a Grateful Dead bear costs now? Because there are a couple Beanie Babies that are still worth thousands of dollars. Like,
but it had to be so rare, right?
Probably, I don't know. The whole thing was stupid in the first
place. Yeah, of course it was. And I remember there was a catalog that gave you, like, projected value in 10, like, in a decade. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember that. Like, people held onto those catalogs.
There is a famous picture, and you can Google it right now.
Yeah.
It was, like, a picture from, like, 1997, 1998. It's a divorce court. It's two grown people.
Yeah.
Have you seen this picture?
No.
There is a stack of Beanie Babies, a pile of them.
And they're going through a divorce.
In front of the judge. They are on their hands and knees, and the judge allowed them to draft a Beanie Baby each until the Beanie Babies were gone. It's a United States courtroom where two grown people are on their hands and knees picking out Beanie Babies one at a time.
They have to realize now, if those people are alive, how sad that was.
I would hope so.
I hope.
I would hope, but who knows?
I don't know.
All right, what do we got for the Grateful Dead bear?
I mean, you can get one. There's a bunch on eBay for like $10.
All right,
and that comes with a content.
Like I
post.
Said, maybe there was a collection of them that was worth more, but the standard
$10
not worth.
And they were saying like how much these were going to be worth, limited edition.
Yeah,
I think there are some. Okay, so there's one in a case.
That's blessed by Jerry.
Says Jerry Garcia Thai Beanie Baby, rare, authenticated, pre-owned, $250.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, way to go, Deadheads. Probably the soundest investment they ever made.
Mm-hmm.